Welcome to Let's Find Out. That was William Vitalis with Open My Eyes to the World. The purpose of Let's Find Out is to serve the higher good. Let's Find Out brings you viewpoints of how to grow within. The goal is to assist you in manifesting your desires in your daily life, to bring to you the concept of truth, that we are all intrinsically connected to the one source that empowers you to manifest your life's purpose, as well as your life's vision. Along the way, your spirit will heal, grow, and prosper when you connect to your blessed higher self. The universe is expanding, and all of us must begin to tune in as we join our mind, body, and soul to the higher energies that are now available to us. BBS Radio and Let's Find Out helps you to establish a link for that purpose. The ultimate desire of the human consciousness is to connect with our blessed higher self, our angels, and our guides. They help us along the path of life. The wave of the new fifth dimension energies, the double helix, is now helping you to manage your emotional body. Meditation is key and helps to strengthen us and guide us to be able to give just a little bit more of ourselves. Take the time to get quiet, to close your eyes, and to go within. Meditate as often as you can throughout the week. Who can predict the messages that will come to you? Now you can know the joy that is felt as the heart opens and expands as you just sit still and listen. This new energy, the double helix from the fifth dimension, is always stronger during the holiday season, the season of magic, joy, sharing, laughter, and love. Let's Find Out wishes you a fabulous holiday with a successful and joyous 2018. Happy holidays and Happy New Year to all of the Let's Find Out and BBS Radio listeners. Now, let's listen to tonight's program with Elizabeth Joyce. Well, good evening. I hope everybody enjoyed their Thanksgiving over here in the U.S. and now we've had Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. Everybody's out shopping, shopping, shopping. And I understand that they did very well this year. We seem to have a higher economy and 17% more sales. My goodness, what will we come to? And now tomorrow, the 27th of November, will be Cyber Monday. And that's supposed to be a very high sales day as well, for a lot of people. And I guess it's more worldwide as it is just the U.S. because Christmas is all over the world and so are the holidays. So remember that we have Cyber Monday because of something called technology. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Technology and its impact on the world and society. And I'm coming from a spiritual viewpoint on this, not scientific. Technology has had its ups and downs. And how has it helped us? It's done some miracles. And how is it hindering us? It certainly has changed our status quo, the way we live, the way we think. And it's had a tremendous, tremendous impact on our children. You can call in tonight as long as you stick to the subject. You can ask about yourself as long as it pertains to the technology and how it's affecting you. The call-in number is 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471. One of the biggest ways that technology has affected children is that the parents have allowed the children the use of either an iPad or an iPhone to keep them quiet, quote, when they're very young. I remember I was talking on the phone to a friend, and her three-year-old daughter was fussing. Give me the phone. I want the phone. Give me the phone. Three-year-old daughter. And I said, what in the world is going on? And she said, she wants my iPhone. And I was really shocked. And I said, why? And she said, she likes to play with it. So
So I had one question for this first mother. How in the world does a three-year-old nonetheless know about an iPhone but want to play with it while you're on the phone? That was sad to me. That didn't make any sense. Yes, we love the iPad. It's done wonders in schools. It's done wonders for children that have had absolutely no communication in the world. But I don't think that it should be used as a toy for somebody that is learning how to walk, learning how to talk, and setting their character at such a young age. We live in a high-tech world with high-tech classrooms. We embrace the benefits of using iPads and iPhones during class, integrating tweets during presentations, and teaching students while using smart TV. We know the many benefits of incorporating technology while teaching, such as adding diversity to lessons, increasing student interaction, and bringing a new perspective and knowledge into the class. Everything has changed. I can remember, of course, the ABCs and reading, writing, and arithmetic. I understand now that they're not teaching children how to do cursor writing. They're teaching them how to print. And why are they doing that? The main impact is so that they can print or text and you'll be able to read their writing. Instead of improving writing, they're teaching them only to print. So that's a change. There is a negative side resulting from inappropriate or overuse of technology. And that negative side can have serious and long-term consequences. To make the best of tools of technology, teachers and parents need to recognize the downside and how to avoid them. Did you know that technology can actually change the way children think? I learned something about technology the other day when I was out at the dollar store shopping. I learned that a young person in high school does not know how to add in their head. They can't think 2 and 2 is 4. So they can't make change. The only way that they can think and make change is when the computer comes up and tells them what the change is. How much do I get back? Well, it said so on the computer. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. What that does, that kind of technology, can take away your independence. It can take away free thinking. But with this day and age and with the wonderful and ever-growing technology that we have, some people don't see it that way. We are really in growth when it comes to technology. We are growing by leaps and bounds. There are awesome things that can be done. Of course, we have robots that can clean for us, and we have Siri on the iPhone, and we have Alexis, I think, is the other one, and all these things, artificial intelligence, that we just say, do so-and-so, and they'll do it. And the next thing that's going to come out that's pretty big is driving, automatic driving. Boy, that's scary for me. It's scary, and it takes away, to me, the enjoyment of being on the road. It's like going down to Disney World and riding the monorail, or going to an airport and going from one airport hangar to the next. But this on-the-road driving, it's going to be very interesting to see how that develops. I do think that in the next 20 years, we're going to be away from being outside, playing and climbing trees, hide-and-seek, baseball, soccer. All the things that our kids grew up with are going to be gone. And we're going to be coming into online games. How can I beat you at this? How can I fight you with that? I want to be the best in technology. If I don't know anything, I'll look it up on the internet, and that makes it true. It takes away our personal logic, and it takes away our reasoning power. As we go into the terrible 20s, And the 30s, that's what's coming, the terrible 20s and the recovering 30s, it's going to be very interesting to see how fast this world changes. You know, I did a show in the summertime, I think it was at the end of July, called Where's the Money? And that's another thing that I want you to take a look at and think about. Going online and having everything online, having a chip put into your finger so that you can open your garage door, unlock your door, and all the things that this chip is going to bring. You know you cannot take the chip. It will change you both internally and externally. It isn't just to open a door. It's going to change your consciousness, and it's going to lower your consciousness. Makes me think that we're all becoming robots ourselves. Very interesting. The negative side can have serious and long-term consequences. To make the best of the tools of technology, we have to recognize the downside and learn how to avoid it. More than a third of children under the age of 2 use mobile media. The number is only increasing as a child's age, with 95% of teens, 12 to 17, spending most of their time online. The time spent with technology doesn't just give kids newfangled ways of doing things, it changes the way their brains work. For example, while a video game may condition the brain to pay attention to multiple stimuli, it can also lead to distraction and decrease in memory. Children who always use search engines may become very good at finding information, but not very good at remembering it and retaining it, which is what I was talking about when I said they can't add in their head. In addition, children who use too much technology may not have enough opportunities to use their imagination or to read and think deeply about material. One of the greatest things that we have been given by God and by Spirit is our imagination. Not only that, our instincts, our internal clock. What do we want to do? What if we could do it? How can we imagine it? Imagine all the people feeling peace, as John Lennon said. Imagine all the people feeling peace. Anyway, we need to have more imagination. We need to have more opportunities to use our imagination, because it can go stale. And then it can become negative. Well, I never get anywhere. I never get anything done. We have so many light workers out there helping to teach us to think more positively. And yet we have this technology that takes that away because it doesn't say so. If you can't find it online, then it isn't true. That's ridiculous. Technology changes the way children feel. Using technology can affect a child's ability to empathize, to understand what another is thinking or feeling, or maybe to feel somebody else's upset and kindness to help them get through whatever the problem is. Kids who have no access to electronic devices for 5 days are better at picking up on emotions and nonverbal clues from the photos of faces than groups that use their devices during that time. The increased face-to-face interaction that the test group made, the students more sensitive to nuances and expression. I remember having an argument with a lady, an upset, a couple of months ago. And she kept looking away and kept looking away. And I kept saying, look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. She didn't want to. Finally, she did for a moment. And then there was that flicker of light, that flicker of understanding, that flicker. Very special. The very special human element. The element that nobody can reproduce. I don't care whose goat you clone or whose dog you clone. You cannot clone an internal feeling, an understanding, empathy, kindness, and being in harmony with someone. Goodness gracious, what's going to happen down the road with our marriages and with our love life? If we're not online and we're not doing this, we're not doing that, we're not going to have a love life. Well, I think it's coming to that too. How sad. Overuse of technology can affect your mood. People who use computer games and their home internet for more than 4 hours a day do not have the same sense of well-being as those who use technology for less than an hour a day. With less physical contact, people have difficulty developing social skills and emotional reactions. That's very, very interesting. An emotional reaction is something that we don't really understand yet. We need more work on that. What is your emotional reaction and why? Because that's where trouble can come. That's why we have some of these shootings that are going on and some of this empty feeling that people have, because they don't know how to work out their emotions in any way except the internet. The internet gives you a false sense. You know, we have badgering on the internet. If you get into a game with people, they start yelling at you or they start cursing at you. They don't know you. You may live in the East Coast and they may live in California or overseas, and yet there can be meanness and bulliness, and that makes you react emotionally. It gives them a false sense of power, and it gives you a false sense of not being right or not getting it good or not being on top of your game. And it's a risk. It's a risk because it stops your development of your own personal integrity, of your own personal consciousness, of your own personal self-esteem. Technology can undermine self-esteem. All these teenagers that are having trouble texting and having trouble in school when their peers gang up on them is powerful. That's the downside of technology. It's wonderful when you're in the hospital and you may have a deaf ear, and technology puts a little something in your ear so that you can hear, talk, speak, and socialize with others. Now that is a miracle. That's a gift. But this other stuff, we really have to watch it. We really do. Obesity is on the rise, and technology can be to blame for that a little bit too, because there's less physical activity, and that leads to obesity. It also leads to fibromyalgia. The women tell you about fibromyalgia, which comes from being still too long. I know that when I write, I have a sense that I don't move for hours, because I'll sit down at noontime and when I'm finished, it's 8 o'clock at night. And I don't know where the time went. But I was so engrossed in being on the internet or writing on word processing and getting it done. And it just takes you right out of your mind, right out of your body. And you're in another world when you're doing that. But children who use technology may unwittingly share information that can put them in danger. 82% of online sex crimes against children and sex offenders use social networking sites to get information about the victim's preferences. And the anonymity of technology can also make it easier for people to bully others online. 25% of teenagers say they have been bullied either by text or on the internet. Sexting is another high-risk behavior of concern. 24% of teenagers aged 14 to 17 have participated in some sort of nude sexting. I can remember being so embarrassed if somebody smiled at me. Can you imagine in 7th and 8th grade sexting? It takes away something called sacredness. It takes away the specialness, the sacredness, and the beauty of being together as man and woman. That is a gift from spirit. It isn't something that you just blink at and do and then go on to the next one. It is designed to incorporate an invisible force. And it's this invisible force that seems to be slowly being made to die out. It's the invisible force of love, the invisible force of empathy, the invisible force of caring that we treasure as human beings, that makes our species, our communities, and our family lives special. That gets taken away when it is abused. Severe obesity is increasing among young people. Although one traditional focus is on the amount and type of foods kids eat, a study says that obesity is on the rise, not just because of food, but because we use more technology and we exercise less. We're not outside playing. My kids were outside from 9 in the morning until 6 at night. They had to come in at sunset. Dinner was always at 6:30. Had to be in for dinner. I didn't always know where they were, but they were out playing with each other. They were riding bicycles, playing baseball, maybe even digging in the dirt, finding their worms and their salamanders and whatever you find when you're outside. This is excluded nowadays in children's childhood. A, because we're afraid to let our kids out of our sight nowadays because of predators, and B, because of technology. With technology that includes cars, television, computers, and mobile devices, the amount of time we spend sedentary, sitting and not moving, increases our time in physical activity and takes less time for physical activity. Physical activity is dropped out the window. It's not important. Try to ask them to walk down the block or to walk to the store and bring you back something. Kids won't do it. They don't want to work that hard. That's pretty funny, isn't it? We certainly are not advocating cutting out technology at all. But as with most things, moderation is best. Teachers and parents who want their children and students to experience the benefits of technology without the negative side can consider some other ideas. Some of the ones I've mentioned, if you can be aware of it, then that would be good, especially the bullying. That is something that I really find hard to accept. We certainly, whether you are a parent or a teacher or both, make sure you know how your kids are and if they know how to use the technology. Make sure they're not wandering out into cyberspace, into areas that you wouldn't want them to be. And you know what? That's not ratting. That's not being too nosy. That's not interfering with somebody's life. I heard a 7-year-old tell her mother that she wasn't going to allow her to come in and clean her room because she was interfering with her privacy, and she'd report her to the school board and tell them that she was a belligerent mother. Can you imagine a 7-year-old saying that to somebody? I can't. If you do this to me or if you take that away, I'm going to go tell them that you abused me. My goodness, what is the world coming to? Many classroom computers have restrictions on which sites can be used. That's good. That's called watching it, and that is called being careful and making sure that your children don't wander off to where they should not be at their age. If you don't consider adding these checkpoints, the search history to know what your children are doing, then you could have some problems with this child down the road who unknowingly could become entrapped either in a place where they're going to take your child away, or whether they're on with an adult who is into porn with children, whether the young girls are going into trafficking. These things can happen when you don't know what your kids are doing online. There is so many wonderful things, so many experiences and benefits to this technology. There's so many good things that they can learn. And that's why they're encouraged to use the computer, but there has to be restrictions. For some, mobile devices and phones offer family-friendly options that let the parents restrict calls and texts during parent-established times. So if an adult can have their computer connected so they know when their child goes on to a questionable website, that's very positive. And that's what we would need to do. I know there is technology for that. I hope that grows stronger. Teach responsible usage of the internet. Don't even think about ignoring what technology has to offer, and don't even think about the fact that these young kids, don't forget, their minds aren't fully developed yet, and the younger they are, the less they're capable of making sound decisions. They can be enticed to go here or enticed to go there instead of staying where they should be online. Talk with your child, talk with students about establishing their internet footprint. That's a neat phrase. I like that phrase, internet footprint. Where are you walking on the internet? Where are you searching? And is this good for you? Is this growthful for you? Or is this something that could cause a problem? The long-range consequences of putting inappropriate information into cyberspace is another issue. These kids guess something that they think is funny that may not be funny to the person that they're talking about, and they put it up on the internet. They put it up on Facebook. I took this picture of whatever, and I put it up on Facebook. Well, is that really right? Isn't that an invasion of privacy? Isn't that a way to not only breach that inner feeling that I was talking about before, but to breach a person's privacy? Why don't we have privacy anymore? It's becoming worse, both for adults and for children. Encourage students to discuss tricky situations they may encounter online and help them work out a positive resolution. So that means that the parents have to get familiar with technology. And my goodness, how many don't want to? There are so many people, I'm going to say over the age of 50 or 60, that don't want to have a cell phone. They don't want to have an iPhone. They want to have their regular house phone or their old-fashioned flip phone that was back in the 1990s. They don't want to move ahead with technology. And as they resist that, they not only put themselves in danger, but they can put others in danger. You really have to keep up with it. It's very, very important that you do. You want to know about Vine or Snapchat and whatever the current online trends are, and stay current so that you can recognize and head off any problems early on. Use classroom technology intentionally. It's easy to allow technology, that's movies, videos, and whatever, to take precedence in the lesson. Be sure to use these tools to augment, not substitute, for your teaching. I gave myself a little experiment. This was in the 90s when I was going to community college to take a special course. I took one of the courses online because I wanted to see how I would feel if I took an online course versus a course in the classroom. I got a C because I didn't understand some of the work. I didn't understand it. It had to be in a discussion in a classroom where everybody was giving out ideas. And if you had a misconception of what you were seeing, the teacher had to explain it to you. That's what learning is. Nobody wants to sit and listen anymore. They want it instantly. I always tell them that your soul development and your character is not McDonald's. It's not. You need the input and surrounding of other people in order to keep you in balance so that you don't make mistakes or misunderstand something and think it's true. So it's very good for you to take precedence in a classroom. Take the time to go to class instead of doing it online. And there's a huge, huge benefit and a huge difference. Difference in your learning process and a difference in your assimilation. offer alternatives in technology. Give students an assignment that requires reading a hard copy of material. Ask them to interview other people in person instead of texting questions. Conduct classes outside where you can sit and discuss a topic without the usual distractions. That's wonderful to read a hard copy of material. You know, I've written 9 books. I've written 9 books in the past 9 years, 10 years, it's been 10 years. And it's wonderful. Some of them I will put on Kindle and some of them I will not, because I want the person to hold the book and feel the power. It's different when you're reading a book than when you're reading on Kindle. It's a whole different set of sensual senses and of understanding. You're not as focused when you're on Kindle. You don't feel some kind of an invisible force that I'm trying to explain to you. You don't feel it when you read on Kindle, but you do feel it when you read a regular book. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I'm trying to show the difference in technology, the pluses and the minuses, because we have hundreds and hundreds of pluses, but we have a few minuses too that have been causing trouble over the world. So let's get better acquainted with it. Let's use technology as a plus, and let's make sure that we use it wisely. I'll be back right after these announcements. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and now it's time for our weekly cosmic tip. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of November 27th through December 3rd, 2017. The holiday season seemed to be in full force this week, as we've had a successful Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and now Cyber Monday. Everyone's out shopping. On Monday, Mental Mercury aligns with Saturn. Odds are you will have a part of the day where you can think very clearly, and other parts of the day where you'll be mentally exhausted and perhaps want to take a nap. Go easy on Monday, and then move faster during midweek when the moon is in physical-centered Aries. November ends with the moon moving into sensual Taurus Thursday afternoon, so have a nice comfort food dinner with friends or work colleagues. Tuesday can bring a frustration and tiredness due to leftover Thanksgiving overload. Are you fretting? Are you wondering how you can possibly get everything done on time? This energy will be short-lived, but comes back again mid-month, so be sure to watch out and take care of your stress levels. Eat well, get your rest, and add in some exercise. You're well into the holiday spirit by midweek, and Friday is an up day as Venus moves out of deep-thinking Scorpio into Sagittarius, the friendly, happy-go-lucky sign. This special party and sharing energy will last well into Christmas Day. As we welcome in the new month of December, watch out for sudden flare-ups when a one-time Mars-Uranus opposition upsets the apple cart and perhaps your status quo. This is a dangerous aspect because worldwide conflicts could get out of control at home or abroad, and we may find that the only solution is military force. Uranus energy rules guns, machines, the internet, and electricity. This can create accidents both on the ground and in the air, so be careful when traveling or driving. Saturday can bring a shopping frenzy where you could overextend your budget. Also, Mercury retrogrades on that day, so be careful and keep a good eye on your wallet or purse. As Jupiter and Neptune smile down on you, don't be blind to your financial abilities. Sunday brings us the foggy Gemini full moon. Personal items go missing, appointments are forgotten, not to mention the traffic and/or car problems. Take a deep breath and go steady and slow. When Mercury is retrograde, be sure you finish one project or errand before taking on the next one. A view of December 2017, Saturn ends his cycle in Sagittarius on the 19th and moves into one of his favorite signs, Capricorn, through 2020. Restructuring Saturn is aligned with the black hole in the middle of the Milky Way galaxy during late November and early December. This last happened in October of 1988. So think about where you were at that time. At the same time, the communications planet Mercury will be retrograde, passing over the galactic center in Sagittarius three times. Watch for inner changes of consciousness. Something larger is being realigned within you. Be sure to take the time to meditate, align your chakras, and grow within. Now let's get back to tonight's program. Let's find out on bbsradio.com. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. Over the past 30 years or so, I have been blessed to open up to my inner self of intuition and inner guidance, which has been a valuable and priceless gift. Mankind has always believed in unseen energies inhabiting in an invisible world of lives and existences from the other realms. Do you think you're a little bit psychic? Do you think you have a strong intuition? Would you like to learn how to open your intuition and develop your sixth sense? I have put together three books on the subject: Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Developing Your Sixth Sense, Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. These are my trilogy books, and what they do is introduce you to the subject of metaphysics in all of its various forms. Do you know about the chakras, the seven energy centers of the body? Do you have a meditation practice? Do you wonder about your dreams? Have you ever met your spiritual guide? Have you had an out-of-body experience, or do you know how to use creative visualization? What about basic astrology? You can begin to build your spiritual practice and open to your intuition with these three books: Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. It has been said by many parents of teenagers and young people that Book 1 really does help the younger ones begin to learn about this subject and develop themselves as well. All books are available on Amazon.com, as well as my website, new-visions.com. Pick them up. They'll always be a part of your library. Thank you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul by Elizabeth Joyce is a perfect holiday gift for Christmas or for any other holiday. This book, Garden, as Elizabeth calls it, and it's one of her favorites, talks about the invisible energy known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times, through light and love shining through the darkness, and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy, feel-good book. It is a well-written, practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices.
This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. Pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I wanted to let everyone know that my new book, a memoir, called Unlimited Realities, is now available on Amazon.com. It just got released from the publisher this week. This memoir is the life of a gifted seer and healer, how a woman transcends from pain and sorrow as destiny taps her on the shoulder. Rather than just shrugging off her problems, she began to gaze inward and upward. She became spiritually awakened and floated above her body, gaining wisdom and knowledge. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of saving my soul as well as my life. When Dick Clark was with us, he reviewed the American Bandstand chapter of Unlimited Realities and absolutely loved it. He said that Unlimited Realities would make a great read. So order yours now at Amazon.com, or you can order it from my website, www.new-visions.com. Don't miss this one. It is a great read and shows you a lot about now as well as the hereafter and what happens to us after we pass from this earth plane. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking air dates between December of 2017 and March of 2018. Thank you for your consideration.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out. An honored guest come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're back with our discussion on technology. And that, of course, was Frank Sinatra singing Fly Me to the Moon. They called Frank the chairman of the board. And the king, well, the king was Elvis, the chairman of the board was Frank. But let me tell you something. In this particular song, Fly Me to the Moon, he's talking about this special energy that is within every God-given human being that's born. It's the gift of life. It's the gift of sense, feeling, knowing, touching, caressing, and being with another person. Whether you're sitting in a rocking chair and rocking your baby, whether you're holding hands with your first boyfriend, or whether you and your husband are entwined. That's what I'm talking about. That's the energy that we're losing. That's the energy that we seem to be struggling against in the anonymity of the internet. It's really interesting to think about it because when I was a little girl and I went up to New Hampshire and stayed with my grandmother for a year, she told me about this energy. And she told me that if you take the chip that was coming, she knew it was coming, and here we were in the 1950s, and she's talking about the chip, and said that it would take away your natural impulses, that it would take away your sense of other people, and that it would take away the most important thing that we have as human beings, the ability to meditate, the ability to connect with the divine, the ability to receive and send messages with our thoughts and with our feelings. That's going to be gone, as sure as your money will be gone if you allow us to have banking only on computers. There won't be any more individualism. That would be really very, very sad. Yes, technology makes our lives easier. Today we have tremendous opportunities to learn and connect by using it. But with each advantage comes a potential cost. When we understand those costs and you can minimize them, we can keep the use of technology positive. That's my message for tonight. And now what we're going to do is go into the meditation. As we go through the holidays, I want to have some music and some very special gifted people on. And starting in 2018, we'll have many, many more authors. So there will be a time for learning and growing on Let's Find Out. Also, I'm inviting every listener to please send me an email, Elizabeth_Joyce@Verizon.net. And let me know what you'd like me to find out. What is it in the metaphysical world, in the spiritual world, or beyond this planet that you want to know about? And we'll see what we can do. Because with the help of BBS Radio and my other people, we will find out. This has been a wonderful evening. I've enjoyed sharing it with you. As we head into the holiday season, please remember that we have two things happening this week. One is a full moon, and the other is Mercury retrogrades right through December. Have fun. Enjoy your shopping. Let's see if there's any snow coming our way. And I will be back next week. Now we're going to go into the meditation. The meditation is the 2018 meditation for the holidays. But first, we're going to find out what it's like to fly and See the Stars Burn with William Vitalis. Thank you for listening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now it's time to prepare for our very special meditation from Elizabeth Hepburn. I am using this to help you make a covenant with the universe that you will be present, positive, and patient as we come into this very powerful time of the solar eclipse. It's the first time that we've had an eclipse such as this in 99 years, but the last time it passed over the United States was during the century of the 1200s. So this is very, very meaningful, very powerful, and very forward-moving to bring us to the place of we know that love is the answer and where peace begins. So please sit in a chair
with both feet flat on the floor. Take some deep breaths, 3 deep breaths, and make sure that you're relaxed. Feel yourself relax. The head, the shoulders, the back, your arms, your torso, your thighs, your legs, your feet. Just feel light running through you. Take another deep breath and prepare for the messages that are coming. And now it's time for Let's Find Out closing meditation. Please sit with both feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes, legs on cross. Take some deep breaths and try to get yourself into a relaxed frame of mind. Let's Find Out is celebrating the divine consciousness which is manifested at the holiday season. May 2018 bring to you your personal spiritual awakening. Happy New Year to your heart, to your spiritual chakras, and to your new life that's just ahead. As we approach the great changes of 2018, moving towards 2020, may your heart be lifted up anew by the joy and hope so strongly felt during this sacred season. The coming of such great masters who purely reflect God's light strengthens our faith so that we too can experience a rebirth from a matter-bound existence into the limitless nature of our soul. We are becoming free. We are becoming one. Take a deep breath, hold the breath, and just listen as these waves of energy come across you. Behold in our divine masters our own soul, our own infinite potential, to expand our consciousness and manifest it into individual lives as well as in our relationships with others. God's goodness, kindness, forgiveness, and love. The Masters show us how to live in divine energy and how to rise above the duality of this world and find peace within and be a giver of peace and love to others. By dwelling on these higher energies and striving to emulate the qualities expressed, you will open your heart to absorb more deeply the Spirit manifested in the Lord and all God-united souls. The strength that upholds the universe filled his being, and yet even greater was his humility, which allowed him to perfectly express God's will and his everlasting love. As long as we live in the confines of our ego's needs and opinions, we create barriers and separation from God as well as one another. However, when we think less of self, we become receptive to his wisdom in all the ways that it may come to us, thus expanding our understanding and compassion. As we are secure in the love of the Heavenly Father, we can become free of the need for position and outer recognition. Seek only to serve, and by doing so, we can know the joy of giving. See the divine in everyone, even those who have erred. Look beyond their human flaws and see their true self. We too can practice the loving, non-judgmental attitude that come in realizing my God lives and flows through that soul. Every outreaching act enlarges our consciousness, but it is by going into our hearts, our temple of silence, where restless thought and emotion subside, that we can fully experience the peace that passes all understanding, the infinite love that the Christ felt, and the love by which God draws all souls back to him. Such depth and inner communication comes gradually, but each effort we make can bring our lives into a greater calmness, empathy, and closeness to the divine. If we persevere, Amma has promised us that we can attain a communion and unutterable sweetness with the infinite grace, the indescribable glory, and eternal protection. That is the priceless gift that God offers to you this week through 2018. And beyond that, may it be the beginning of a joyous soul awakening and a time to share with others. In the oneness, we all feel the embrace, the sense of joy, the comfort of love, and the oneness of everyone on the planet and off the planet. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Let's Find Out and BBSRadio.com wish a blessed and most happy holiday season to you, all of your loved ones, and all of the important people in your life.
Thank you.